The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is David Linden.
Good morning.
And we're very fortunate to have with us today Erin Binkowski, who is the community educator at Alzheimer's Association of Long Island, and Dr. Alan Mazurek, who is the neurologist and a board member. And I apologize for that. That was an incident. But and the conversation today, and actually David touched on it briefly, is people talk about dementia. They talk about Alzheimer's. They talk about just cognitively impaired. I know when I do programs, there's three letters, isn't it?
MCI.
MCI.
Minor? Mild.
Mild. Cognitive impairment. That's it. And there are signs, obviously, for adult children to look for friends to look for. All of a sudden, the same thing happens three or four times in a row. Is that just you're confused, which is normal, or it's signs that somebody should be concerned? And I'm throwing the ball over to Erin and Alan, and you guys go first.
All right. I'll take that one first, Erin, okay. If that's okay with you. I'm Dr. Mazurek, and I've been a neurologist for 35 years. I teach at Mount Sinai in New York City. And I have a particular interest in Alzheimer's disease because the brain is the most fascinating organ in the human body. That's where it all happens. And you raise a great question, John, that the idea of mild cognitive impairment, how do you know that it means something? Or are you just having a bad day, or you didn't get enough sleep, or it's normal aging? And that's why we at the Alzheimer's Association are stressing the importance of early diagnosis, because we don't know. And it's important to ask questions, have your doctor check you out to make certain that what you are feeling is not just normal aging or something, a sign of something more serious. And that doesn't mean we have to get excited or nervous every time we forget something.
Right, right. That's the issue.
Right.
That's a big one.
Right, exactly. Yes. The old rule is, of course, if you forget where you put your car keys, that's nothing to worry about. We all forget that. If you get how to use your car keys, that's
right,
a serious incident. So there are certain rules of thumb, but the bottom line is that if it happens repeatedly and you're of a certain age for the most part, then it's something to check out. Doesn't mean it's going to be Alzheimer's disease. There are a lot of conditions that can mimic Alzheimer's disease. I'll give you one example, B12 deficiency, for example. Something that actually is very common in the older community because people eat less red meat, and red meat is the main source of B12. If they don't take a vitamin supplement, B12 deficiency can actually mimic Alzheimer's disease. So it's important to check these things out. And you can find that out with a simple blood test. So it's really important to mention it to your doctor.
I had a B12 test a couple of months ago. It was 100 and something, my number.
It better be higher than 100.
It was a little over 100. They said they'd never seen a person that low, so then they put me on stuff.
There you go. So there you did the right thing.
I've never seen a number this
good.
Low.
You've got to be between 200 and 1,000 or
now
so.
Now I'm at 599.
Terrific. Great. You see that? And you feel smarter already.
Yeah. I'm a genius now. I'm a genius.
But that's why it's so important to check these things out, not to assume it's Alzheimer's.
Right, right.
Just look and see if there's a problem. Is it repeated? Then check it out with your doctor. That's why it's so important to do it early. Don't wait.
But how many primary care physicians are knowledgeable about something like vitamin B1?
Okay, B12, you're right. And Erin and I were discussing this because most primary care physicians, as you know, are busy dealing with the diabetes and dealing with hypertension and heart disease. They don't have time for this. So that's why it's really important for the patient to be an advocate for him or herself and say, you know what? I'm having a little problems with my memory. I don't know if it's anything to worry about, doc, but can you help me out here? And who should I see? Maybe you're too busy to deal with it. Who should I see to check it out? And they can refer you to the appropriate facility, and certainly the Alzheimer's Association, which has incredible amounts of resources for free out there. Just call us. Call us on our 24/7 hotline.
I'm going to go to Erin. With my B12, I'm a vegan. I was a vegan.
Ah.
But nobody ever said
And you never read anything that you should have it checked. So they would attribute it to that. Like, you don't have cheese, you don't have milk, you have eggs, you don't have nothing.
Right.
Main
thing is red meat. And you know, we all try to avoid too much red meat because it affects our risk of cardiac disease and cancer. Yeah. But you need a certain amount.
Okay, I'm going to just follow up before we go to Aaron.
Sure.
So if a person does eat red meat, or doesn't rather, excuse me, they should have it once in a while. What's the time? Like once a week, once a month?
If you There's nothing magical about it.
Oh, there isn't, okay.
But the point is that you should have your B12 checked once a year. When you go for your general physical.
And that's not a normal check, though, right?
Most doctors do, really. Okay. I hope. Most of my colleagues do check it because it is such a simple thing to do and has such profound implications, especially given our fear of Alzheimer's. Then once a year, you just check your B12 level. That's all.
Aaron, in reference to the Alzheimer's Association, how does that work with the community?
Well, I mean, in our role, my role specifically, we do a number of different things. So we do community education programs to open up these conversations, to stress the importance of, you know, early detection, what the warning signs actually are. That's one of our most popular programs, 10 signs of Alzheimer's and, you know, possible signs. Yes. And we do these programs free in the community. Because we need to open up the conversation. We need to make people aware of what could be a sign of something going on, and it doesn't necessarily have to be Alzheimer's or dementia. It could be vitamin deficiency. It could be thyroid. It could be a number of different things. So we do a variety of educational programs. We have support groups. We have a very important resource, which I always want to stress, is our 800 number, which is a 24/7 support line, which it is really the only resource out there like that exists like it, because it's 24/7. If you call 800-272-3900, it will connect you to all of the resources that the Alzheimer's Association offers, which are all free. But it's also around the clock's emotional support for people who are living either with a diagnosis or if they're taking care of somebody with a diagnosis.
Right.
People can call in the middle of the night. And I had one woman tell me specifically that she is a primary caregiver for her mother, and they live just the two of them, and it was the middle of the night. And she said, you know, Mom was trying to get dressed to go to work, and Mom's 85, and it's 2 a.m., and she, clearly, you know, that's what dementia
does.
And the harder I tried to get her to stay home and put her pajamas on and convince her that she didn't have to go to work, the angrier she got, and it started to escalate. I didn't know what to do. I called this phone number. She said, Aaron, I don't know what I would have done had I not had that number. She said, they spoke to me. They told me what to say in the middle of the night. They got on the phone. They spoke to my mother. We de-escalated the situation.
Wow.
They really gave me these tools that I don't know what would have happened if I didn't have that. So this number is one of my first things that I tell people about, because you can call and get information, you can find out support groups, you can ask questions about the disease, you can get connected to resources, but above and beyond, you can get assistance 24/7, no matter what it is. So we really want people to know about that.
And that's important from the caregiver. Somebody told me once, and I don't know where this came from, but it was a couple. You know, and maybe it was a made-up story, but it was tremendous that, you know, one of them had Alzheimer's, and they were saying about, you know, you're in the same bed since you got married, and you're lovey-dovey and so close, and you're still only inches apart, but you're miles apart, because the person with Alzheimer's is in the bed and doesn't even know who you are anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, where did my world go?
Right.
And so, you know, it's devastating, but what I would like to ask you, because I'm involved with different not-for-profits, mm-hmm. they're not trained social workers. You were saying about top 10 signs. What are the top two or three that just a caring person giving out food at an organization or just helping out in a community house which should be looking for to say, I think there's a problem? A nurse or a social worker would obviously be better equipped. But just I'm talking about a guy or a gal that says, listen, I'm willing to help out and serve food this week.
So what would you want to be looking for if somebody is possibly has cognitive issues?
Right.
Well, I would think in a situation like that, sometimes there's confusion. I'll give you an example. If somebody goes into a store, they could suddenly become confused and not remember either how they got there, you know, what they're looking for, come up to a register potentially and get confused as to how to go about what the process is to pay for the items. Sometimes shoplifting can be an issue. So those are things that, you know, things that seem that the person would know that are, that's common knowledge that they're struggling with.
Okay.
You know, that could be an indication that there is something, that there's something cognitively going on. I mean, Dr. Mazur, would you agree?
Right. Well,
you're the expert.
One of the things that I use, and of course, by the way, when you see any doctor about cognitive impairment, you have to prepare yourself for some time and conversation and questions, because the way to find things out is by talking to that person.
Right, okay.
So you look for things, what we call disorientation to person, place, and time. Basically, you look for that. So you look to see if, let's say, that person in the store, did they recognize the person that they were in the store with? Do they know that person? If they have difficulty with that, that's a red flag. Do they know what day it is today? Now, we all forget the day, especially if you're retired. Mm-hmm. Every day is Sunday, right? You know, the fact is, you know, every day is, you know, you're not working. But the fact is that most of us will figure out what day it is. If they have trouble figuring it out, then that's a problem. And I will tell you something. I often will ask somebody their age. You know, women, I apologize that I do ask, but I do it in the context of testing their memory. And if they have trouble remembering their age, and they'll say, well, gee, let's see, I was born in such and such a year, and they can't give you their age, you know, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And right away you can figure out there's something significant, because most of us know how old we are. Most of us know our birthday because we've written it down about a zillion
right,
times.
Right. Yes.
But yet if we have trouble figuring out how old we are because we don't really know what year it is, then that's really a red flag, and that will tell you that there's a cognitive impairment that needs to be investigated. So that's what I use as my.
Okay.
Those are the top
top
three,
perfect.
I'd say.
Yeah.
Is there a timeline of going downhill? Now, I mean, so I have some cognitive impairment. Now, does that mean within 6 months I'm here, 9 months I'm here, 12 months I'm here, or I could just have that and I'll have that for the rest of my life? And somebody else can go in 6 months and be totally gone.
No, it's a great question. The answer is there is no timeline.
There isn't.
There's no one size fits all. I have patients who will decline relatively rapidly, and then they will plateau, and they'll be like that for years. And I'll have other patients who will continually go downhill, and other patients who actually won't get bad at all. They'll stay pretty stable for years. So it really varies, because we really don't understand. I say this with all humility. We don't understand. Aaron and I were talking about this earlier. Why this happens. We don't know the cause of Alzheimer's disease. We don't know exactly how it works. We've had a lot of knowledge over the last 20 years. When I was in medical school, we didn't really know, other than the pathological specimens, but now we know a lot more, but we still don't know what causes it. And that's why, for us to make any blanket statements that, you know, in 6 months you're going to be at this point,
right, okay,
it's just, it's wrong. And I say you live every day at a time, one day at a time, and you do the best you can every day, and you try to improve every day. And that's why we're going to give some pointers on how we can improve ourselves mentally today as well. So,
okay, that's going to be important.
Great.
Just earlier, I think David was the one who said dementia is the category. Alzheimer's is one of the categories.
Correct. As Aaron mentioned, Alzheimer's disease or Alzheimer's dementia, those two are interchangeable, is the most common cause of dementia in the United States. Dementia is the general heading, while Alzheimer's is the number one under that category, Alzheimer's disease or dementia. You can use the term Alzheimer's disease or dementia.
What else is dementia?
There are other causes of dementia.
Right.
For example, if you all remember Robin Williams, who unfortunately committed suicide,
right.
He suffered from something called Lewy body dementia. It's another form of dementia. There's also something called vascular dementia, where somebody who's had multiple strokes or small vessel disease, we used to call it hardening of the arteries, remember? That's probably the second most common cause of dementia in the United States. So there are other causes of dementia.
So the end result is the same. The person would be forgetting.
Not identical. You can make differences. You can distinguish between different types of dementia. But dementia is a general category.
So Robin Williams would have had dementia. But from that cause,
but it was not Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's.
Correct. Dementia is, that's why the confusion is, because when somebody says Alzheimer's disease, you can also call it Alzheimer's dementia, but really dementia by itself is a general term.
Okay.
And then you listen
and there's different ways to have dementia.
Yeah, I suspect most people out in the general public think of it as two separate things. Or dementia.
So we're educating people today.
Absolutely.
Right. Great.
That's one of the most common questions I get. What's worse? You know, is Alzheimer's worse than dementia? What's the difference? Well, I don't have Alzheimer's. I only have dementia or vice, you know, and there's a lot of confusion. So,
but Alzheimer's is the largest.
About 60-70% of the cases of dementia in the United States are Alzheimer's.
Okay, because I didn't even know that about Robin Williams. I didn't even know the name of that drug.
Is that increasing in number?
Unfortunately,
Is that because of aging or?
the number one question. Well, you know what
we're going to do? If you don't mind, sure. Let's take a break, because that's going to be, we're going to come back to that. You only have 20 seconds. I don't want to interrupt you.
Okay.
Okay, great. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.